This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
There goes the two boys, the two great boys of the Bay Area, the best sports show on town.
On 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, that's what we call ourselves. Glad you're with us. It's a big night. This is a little off topic, but it grabbed my attention.
Okay.
Do whatever you want with it.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
The Raiders and Geno Smith came to a new agreement.
Wait, who and whom?
The Raiders.
And?
Geno Smith.
I've heard of both of them.
Yeah, right? They traded for him.
Okay.
Not too long ago.
April 3rd, and that's football.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Want to know what the average annual value? Have you seen it, by the way?
No, I have not.
Oh, this will be fun.
Scott.
Let's go. Dan Dibley, Geno Smith.
Average annual.
Two-year deal. Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah.
What do you think his average annual salary will be?
Well, he's not great, but he is a... Well, he's not great.
That was a funny way to start it.
Well,
he's not great.
He's not great, but he's not terrible. So if you want to put him there in the middle... Money in the middle. Where's he at? He's in the middle. I'm going to put the AAV for Geno Smith at $30 million a year.
Okay.
Two and sixty.
Grandy, should what should be considered a right or a wrong answer? Like what?
Just hit the buzzer.
You asked for AAV.
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't get the years right.
No, 2 years.
He said 2 years.
Yeah, it's a 2 year extension.
Okay. Yeah, I got that right.
But I would say, like, give or take $3 million. Is that fair?
Whatever.
Okay.
Let's get to the part where Grandy buzzes me. You laugh. I get mad. I complain. You're kind of jumping ahead here.
Yeah.
Buzz, laugh, complain.
You're terrible.
Laugh, complain. You say that, but you have the information.
You're all right. Because I'm tapped in. I'm locked in.
You're really not.
You're just a dude
with a computer.
Yeah, well, where are you?
What are you doing over there?
What are you reading books?
You know what I'm doing?
We're at work right now, man. It's 3:04. There's two games in the next 40 hours.
So you know what I could
do?
Is I could quickly Google it and get everyone right. Isn't it more fun when I intentionally, Grandy, get them wrong?
You can't intentionally get it wrong.
You can't
intentionally not get the info. You didn't even know that you were supposed to look.
I could have found it out and gotten it right, but it's more fun when we have this paradigm.
$37.5 million a year.
It's an overpay.
I feel like we feel that about every quarterback.
So it's 2 and 75, and
yes.
The guaranteed number, we don't know yet.
No, we probably do. No, we do.
It's probably, I would guess, but I'd get buzzed, so... It's probably about $35 million guaranteed.
About half. No, it's higher than that.
Oh, wow, okay.
It's higher than that.
Well, the 37.5 was the base value. It's worth as much as $85.5 million over 2 years.
But the $66.5 in guaranteed money.
Yes.
$66.5 in guaranteed money.
But it could be all the way up to like $42 million per year.
Right.
But if he's an all pro or if he
I don't know all the details.
2 years, 75. So what does that do for Brock Purdy?
Well, I do think, and I put this out on Twitter earlier in the week. To me, it's not about the AAV for Brock. What I'm looking for in the Brock Purdy deal is how many years. Because if you really, really, really love your quarterback, you want to do 4 or 5 years. If you love him, if it's like a deep like, if it's lust, if it's, we like you, it's going to be a 3-year deal. So for me, it's not about the AAV. I do think that Brock Purdy is going to wind up getting more than $50 million a year.
What if he
wants
it
will only be 3 years?
What if he wants a shorter deal?
Well, yeah, he's allowed to want that.
Yeah,
I don't
just
think
saying that. I don't know that it's going to say.
But if I'm Brock Purdy, I would be looking at more guaranteed money, more guaranteed years as a 25-year-old QB.
Probably.
I think that the team is going to wind up giving him 3 years. The AAV, the average annual value, will be big. It'll be eye-popping, but it will only be for 3 years.
I'll take the over.
On 3 years?
Yep. We're coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed here in San Francisco. We're thrilled that Laughing Monk is along with us here at 95.7 The Game. We love it there. We love the food. We love the atmosphere. We love everything about it. Great place to watch a game. And my goodness, with all the games that are coming at us right now, great place to go. So check it out. Laughing Monk Brewing right here on 95.7 The Game. All right, so Warriors and Lakers tonight, and the thing we've been playing with is basically the idea of not just whose career would you pick, because that is our Twitter poll question, Shane Co. Which career would you want if you were offered either one, LeBron or Steph, as an incoming NBA rookie? I did also think of this, though, and Michael Thompson will join us here in just over a half hour. Every time we watch them get together, there's a little bit of that thought of, like, how many more of these do we get? Like, how many more of these do we get? And I don't think either one of them are even considering retiring after this year. So this is not the last one. There is a chance that we'll never see them play each other in the playoffs again. Actually, a pretty good chance, I would say.
Yeah, odds are.
Yeah, we'll never see that again. So
this
year
would be fun if it happened.
We could be down to where, like, the number of times these two will meet is down to, like, one hand. It's possible.
Absolutely. It's very possible. And, you know, LeBron at 40, and you would figure that he's got, you know, one more year, two more years. We know Steph has two more years after this, and maybe he'll extend it. We hope that he'll continue to play basketball because we love it and it's good for business.
I would predict that he doesn't.
He doesn't play beyond his contract?
I don't believe that he will. That's just me.
Yeah, I would.
I think that Steph Curry's going to play for two more years.
I think that he'll play for longer than that.
And I hope you're right. Good Lord, I hope I played at least 50.
Well, and it's great for everyone because, boy, is it fun to watch him play. And when he plays basketball, people listen to our station. So selfishly, and I think about, like, and I don't want to get too deep in the weeds of sports talk radio and the history of this market, but if Steph Curry didn't become Steph Curry, this radio station would be back to country. Back to country music.
Do you believe that?
I do.
Okay.
Because
that's interesting.
And I was here before we had the Warriors and we had the A's, and I lost my job because we did a bunch of A's talk, and then, you know, the station that had the Warriors kind of mucked it up. And they shuttled a burgeoning dynasty onto the B station, and then the Warriors didn't like it, and so we did a classic scoop and score, and we scooped and scored, and then Steph went from, man, this kid is good, and they're a title-winning team, to, oh my God, they're a dynasty. So if it wasn't for that and for him, and I'm over-dramatizing it, but
maybe
maybe not.
Don't really know what would have happened if Steph didn't become Steph.
Our station is going to be 14 years old in August, and a lot of our success has been because of their success.
Sure.
So I don't take it lightly what he's done. So yeah, I'm really hoping he plays more than 2.5 more years.
I mean, I will probably take, and I don't think it'll last more than 3 minutes into the game, because that's the way this. There's something about watching the Lakers play basketball. I have to rebirth this every single time I sit down and watch them. They don't, upon arrival, get under my skin the way certain other teams do. Cowboys, Dodgers.
Yeah.
And then even the floating rivals of the Warriors.
Yeah.
Well, or even of the Warriors.
Right.
Like when Dillon Brooks was playing in Memphis, that was a game where I'm like, I'm kind of angry.
Yeah.
Mark, the game doesn't start for 9 hours. I'm ticked off. Like, I'm just already mad.
I like floating rivals, by the way. That's a great way to describe it.
The Warriors have had some floating rivals, and the Lakers are like this standby one.
But I'm angry, Jeff. That's awesome.
Yeah, but it's never been consistent where both teams are good, and it's never been, I think for a lot of people, maybe it is for some, but it's never been this thing where it's like, okay, mano a mano, it's the Warriors and the Lakers. That's just kind of rare, mainly because until 10, 12 years ago, the Warriors were never up to par to a Laker rivalry. You know, you had to, and the Lakers look at the Celtics much more than anyone else, for that matter. But the Lakers are a recurring agitator. That's what I would call them. They're a recurring agitator. I already told you, I'm not a LeBron hater upon arrival, but like I'll sit down, and you also know, like my personal history, I had years professionally where I was covering this team.
Yeah.
But I will sit down tonight, and I'll just be like, yeah, it'd be good for the Warriors to get over this hump. That'd be good. 3 minutes into the game, I'm going to want to throw pepperoni at the TV.
No doubt.
Because of the way they play and sort of what's really bad about the Lakers is not the players. It's the fan base.
It's the uniform.
The fan base is the most arrogant fan base in sports.
It's everything about it. And a lot of my best friends are L.A. people, yep. And so it's deep-seated, and yeah, they played in the playoffs 2 years ago, and before that, 1991. So your point about they're not usually good at the same time,
yes.
You have to go back to 91, and in all the history, the Lakers have won every playoff series against the Warriors except for one, and that was 1967.
I don't remember that one.
Me either, oddly.
Oh, you don't?
Pre-Dibber.
I don't believe you.
Yeah, shocking.
All right, we're sponsored by Chilton Auto Body. 888-957-9570. Some of you want to weigh in on all of this. The Warriors and the Lakers play tonight. And Michael Thompson joins us in a half hour. 888-957-9570. We're taking your Warrior and Laker phone calls coming up next on Willard and Dibbs.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bay Area, it's Moses Moody. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Come on, Moses. Let's go, role players. Let's do the damn thing.
Yeah, let's go.
We have some good news.
Okay.
And then Dibs has, you have some bad news.
It's not totally bad, but it's trending toward being bad.
It's ominous.
Yep, it is.
And then I have a funny observation.
Okay.
I think you know, I don't want to assume all our audience knows, you know what it means when someone says a Magic Johnson tweet, right? Do you know what that means? It's kind of a thing.
Well, yeah, it's like, it's Captain Obvious,
okay,
right?
Beyond. Like, if I went to Twitter and I was like, today is Thursday and the sun is shining and the Warriors play the Lakers and my name is Mark. Like that, but you did it with an exclamation point as if you were telling somebody something. Right. That's a Magic Johnson tweet. And he ripped one off about this game tonight, but tucked within it, it's going to make you mad. It's going to make you, not anybody else.
Just me?
But just you.
All right, bring it.
Mad. All right.
I dare you. I'm in a great mood today.
No, you're not.
I'm in a fantastic mood.
No, you're not. You're already like immediately. I'm like, today's the best day of the freaking week. And you're like, people on BART don't use deodorant.
Well,
like,
Thursday is the best day of the week.
It is
a stupid and terrible take. And I will clap back on it until I'm wheeled out of here in a pine box.
But if that's your response, then you're not in a good mood.
Best day of the week.
I'm in a great mood.
You don't have to agree with it. But I enjoy Thursdays the most. And that's a fact.
Clapping back on your flimsy takes makes me happy. Therefore, when you say that, it actually makes me in a better mood than ever before.
Well, you're about to lose your mood. All courtesy of Magic Johnson.
He can't bring me down.
Yeah, he can.
Try me, Magic.
I'm so excited to watch LeBron versus Steph. Tomorrow, he sent this last night.
Oh, okay.
When the Warriors take on my Lakers in a must-win game for both teams with seeding implications on the line. Exclamation point.
Of course. You got to have that exclam.
Well, they always end with an exclamation point.
Right. All Magic tweets. Yep. So it's a must-win, Magic. So, if the Lakers lose, what happens? Irv?
Play again.
Right.
Play again this weekend.
Super Bowl or try again. Like, this is the epitome of another one of your takes that I don't love.
Well,
it's...
like, they are going to try again.
Right. Yeah. And if the Lakers lose...
Factual.
Right. The Lakers, if they lose, well, they get to play again. And even if they lose that game and the game after that and the game after that and the game after that... They probably still will be in the playoffs. Huh? So the idea of this being a must win is just, it's pathetic.
It's a must win for both teams.
It's a double must win.
That's right.
Which, when you get to a game seven in the playoffs and it's a best of seven, yeah, double must win. The loser will not get to play anymore this year. That's a must win. When you play game 76 in the NBA, and by the way, both of these teams, I think, have already clinched a play-in spot, so...
Yeah, that's true.
The very nature of not that.
There's zero chance that, I believe, and I don't even have it in front of me right now. Let me pull the standings up. There's zero chance that anybody in the top eight is not going to be in the top eight.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
The Warriors are 8.5 ahead of Sacramento for the 10.
The top eight are the top eight. That's done. Memphis leads Dallas and Sacramento... They lead Dallas by 6.5 games, and they lead Sacramento by 8.
The Warriors cannot be worse than 8.
Correct.
The Lakers cannot be worse than
8.
Even 8. Yeah.
No, nobody in the top 8 is not going to be in the top 8. It's just a matter of how you want to shuffle the deck.
Right. So this is, by the very nature of that, it's not a must win. So, yeah, you got me, Mark.
That
pissed me off.
Exactly. But I have good news before your ominous news.
Okay.
Gary Payton II's status has been updated to day-to-day. He will not play tonight, but it appears that he is nearing a return from the torn ligament in his thumb.
Exciting.
So, GP2 out tonight. Not saying I think he's going to play tomorrow either. Maybe not even Sunday. But I sort of read this as... maybe something before the end of the regular season.
Which is huge.
Which is great. Yeah. I was sort of expecting to not see him until whatever happens in the postseason.
Yeah, and I was of the same mind. And, you know, you hear about it initially, and it's like, oh, boy, you know, the torn ligament in the shooting hand, the shooting thumb, it's going to be 3 weeks or 4 weeks or who knows. And it's only been, like, what, a week and a half? And so the fact that he is now day-to-day officially, that's exciting. Hopefully he can come back and be ready to go before the playoffs, that way you can get a little bit of a run-up to what's going to happen.
All right. Release your ominous ref-alytics information that you have.
Well, you know I love the refs, and I like to check ref assignments, and so I looked at the assignments for tonight, and you and I both, during the break, I read off the names, Sean Wright, Mark Lindsay, and Brett Nanzel.
Never heard of any of them.
Me either. And so I thought, what are these refs like in terms of the stats? And you look at the profile on NBA Stuffer, .com. They run down all of the ref analytics, and when you look at these three individuals, what you see is a very home-heavy ref resume. Brett Nansel, for example, who will not be the crew chief, he's on the crew, home teams win 63% of the games that he referees. And the crew chief himself, Sean Wright, when he is the crew chief, home teams win at a 59% rate.
What do home teams normally win?
I would say...
More than half the games to begin with.
Yeah, but not 60%.
No?
And I'd have to look at the exact numbers across the league, but two of the three, and the third member of the crew, Mark Lindsay, is about 50%, a little bit below, but when I look at a crew led by Sean Wright, and then Brett Nanzel, who, when he referees, home teams win 64% of the time, it makes me a little bit nervous about the whistle already when...
It's already a bad deal because...
With Luka and LeBron.
Yeah, you're already playing the Lakers.
So Luka, LeBron, national TV, on the road, Steph gets no calls, and you've got two of the three guys who lean toward the home team.
Yep, I'm already angry.
It's over. Yeah. Why even bother watching it? It's over. 122-109 Lakers.
It's just going to be a...
Cuckoosh.
Yep. This could be a frustration sensation.
It could be.
Could be.
And that's a buck.
Yeah, yeah. Michael Thompson's going to join us in about 15 minutes. And I've been itching to ask him this question because he has a very unique entry point to the Luka Doncic trade, I would imagine. I would imagine nobody else on the planet saw Luka Doncic get traded to the Lakers and thought to himself, well, that totally changes my job. But at the very same time, oof, kind of a gut punch to my family. Now, I think that's a relatable thing, right? Who hasn't experienced that in their life? Something happens and you're like, that's good for my job, but it's not great for my family. Like, hey, do you want a raise? But here's the deal. You're going to have to travel 250 days a year. It's almost kind of like what Steiny was talking about in the crossover when you're a beat writer and you go on a two-week road trip. Sounds phenomenal when you're on your way. You're like, this is going to be quiet out there. I'm going to get a break, get some hotel rooms to myself, and just chill. It's all on the company dime. This is awesome. 4 days later, you're depressed and questioning your entire existence because it's not great for your family. And we all go through this, but this one in a very different way. Luka Doncic gets traded in the middle of the night to the Los Angeles Lakers. And for Michael, who is a broadcaster for the Lakers, A, this is content for the team. It's exciting for the team. It's obviously their star player into the next generation post-LeBron, which kind of keeps the Lakers relevant for a much longer period of time. All of these things are good for Michael. On the other hand, Warrior fans, his son literally left here in a little bit of a huff to go join Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. And as soon as this trade happened, Anthony Davis gets there. He gets hurt. Kyrie gets very badly hurt. And even though the Mavericks are still hanging out now in the play-in tournament, it looks like they're going to be the 9 seed in this whole thing. His comment publicly was Clay is in purgatory right now. And so I can't wait to dive into this with Michael and find out a little bit more about, let's be real, if there's been any regret for Klay Thompson to make the choice that he made and end up in Dallas with very few players around him.
Yeah, I don't know if you can ever live your life like that in terms of regret because he did what he did and he had an offer allegedly here that he didn't like and then he played the year and then the offer that he had earlier wasn't there and he wound up taking less than what was allegedly offered by the Warriors to go to Dallas. And you thought, okay, big three. And he had the homecoming and the captain's hats. And I still see the sign in here, the thank you, Clay.
Yep, still here.
Signed by thousands of fans. And, you know, that moment was spectacular. And, you know, you had Luka and you had Kyrie. And now you've got no Luka, you got no Kyrie, and you got Anthony Davis, and you're a 9 seed. And you are 38 and 39. And Clay's not having the type of year that he's used to having. And maybe it's just because he is declining to the point where this is going to be what Clay is going to be. So I wonder about regret and also just, you know, the nature of any move you make. You make a move and you think it's good and then things change and it's like, boy, that didn't really work out the way I hoped.
It's also funny because we do this. I think it's sort of similar to when someone invites you to a party that you know you don't want to go to and you do the whole, like, I'll try to stop by. Like, yeah, text me later. Let's see if it works out. That's all sort of a way to just socially make it acceptable. And I think the same thing happens in a situation like Klay Thompson with the Warriors. And I couldn't tell you how many Warriors fans, especially that night, Klay's return and everyone's in captain's hats and they're at a line leading up to our booth so they could sign this picture. And everybody kind of said the same thing, like, we're going to still be following Klay. We're going to watch. We're going to keep eye on you, man. We're rooting for you. And no, you're not. Like, I bet you could go through Chase Center tomorrow night, quiz people on how many points Klay Thompson's averaging per game, and almost nobody would get the answer. Nobody's watching Klay Thompson anymore. The team became totally uninteresting for a period of time. And he's averaging 14.4 points per game this year. And he is exactly, like, let's be real. He's exactly the player the Warriors kind of assessed him as and wanted to pay him as. In fact, he's probably even a little bit lesser than what the Warriors reportedly offered before the year. And in February, he turned 35 years old. And Luka's not coming back. And Kyrie is not getting any younger, and he is not going to get healthy anytime soon. And by the time there is any semblance of structure back with that organization, Klay is going to be as old as Steph is. So,
and he'll be in the final year of his deal there.
Yep.
And so,
yep.
Yeah, and you look at just the numbers, and I know numbers are numbers.
They
but
are.
Last year with the Warriors, 17.9 a game in, you know, 30 minutes a night. This year he's averaging almost 28 a night, and he's getting 14.4. And the field goal percentage is down. The three percentage is up a little bit, but he's not scoring like he used to. And it does feel like, you know, year over year, and that's even removed from 3 years ago when they won the title, and he averaged 20 a night. And then he came back and he averaged 22 just 2 years ago. He was getting 22 a night, and now he's at 14.4 for a team that is dead 500 without a real legitimate scorer, and he still isn't out there getting buckets. He's only shooting it 12 or 13 times a game.
Well, he's had kind of a, like, there's a weird vibe around the whole thing.
Yeah.
Just because of the fact that, like, Klay is not somebody who can go out there and be a one. Klay is not somebody who can go out there and hunt his own shot. So if there's no Luka and there's no Kyrie, I know Anthony Davis is now back and he's played a handful of games. He got whacked in the face, and so therefore might be hurt again. I don't know, but Klay needs those guys out there if he's going to be able to do his thing, and they're not out there, so he can't even. I don't even know if he can be his best self. So anyway, that and then much more with his dad, Michael Thompson. We'll dive into this Laker Warrior situation tonight, and certainly ask him the question that we started our show with, which is, since the trade deadline, the Warriors so improved. And the Lakers just changed. Some people think they're improved. Luka's a bigger name, but we both think they got better offensively, worse defensively. Therefore, is this an easier or harder target for the Warriors now? Because I think something that's gotten forgotten as we build up to this particular game, people are talking a lot about history. I'd argue there's none. These two teams have never played each other before.
It's fair. Yeah.
So I have no idea what the hell we're going to see tonight.
Yeah, you've got Jimmy, Steph, and Draymond against LeBron, Luka, and Austin, and you can add in the ancillary pieces all you want, and that's a fair way to put it because LeBron has never faced Jimmy as a Warrior, and the Warriors have never faced Luka as a Laker.
Correct.
So you're right, these teams haven't faced each other, yet you do have the undercurrent of LeBron and Steph and Draymond, which goes all the way back, 10-plus years. So it's a little bit of a mixed bag where a lot of it's familiar, but a lot of it is also new, and you're in a spot where both these teams are fighting for playoff positioning. It's not a must-win magic. I apologize for coming down your road for that, but it's a big game, and it's a curious game nonetheless.
We're going to start some controversy right now. Kevin and Lake Merritt has called the show and apparently knows tonight's referees personally. So,
whoa,
yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Kevin, thank you for calling. What's going on here?
Well, first of all, I want to tell you, I told you the story about how the first practice Kerr had and he kicked the guys out. That is a true story. And I didn't want to tell you that I was a referee, but I think it just happened so long ago that Coach Kerr forgot. But anyway, I know Benito personally and wrestled with him many times, and I know Mark very well because he done my evaluations two times through the D-League. So you're in good hands. It's very fair, guys. Natural school teacher out of Modesto. I don't know where he lives now. I just, you talk about my boys, and I just had to just chime in, and I love listening to you guys, and I know how good is pro referee.
All right, Kevin. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Thanks, Kevin.
I guess the Warriors are in good hands. Kevin knows them personally, and they're good people. They're good people. They're fair people.
Well, and I don't think that any of the officials in the association are bad people.
I do.
And, of course, you
most of them.
Right. All of them. Name check them. No. Put them out there. And, you know.
I'm sure Zarb was fine. Whatever.
Zarbs. Yeah. How about Scott Foster?
No, that's a bad dude.
Yeah. Just patently. Courtney Kirkland, your thoughts?
Yeah, no, just brutal. Brutal human
Ed
being.
Ed Molloy?
No, terrible to dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, he hits dogs when if on his days off.
Wow. Rolled up newspaper. Yeah. Edges.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do?
I just was looking at the numbers, and, you know, numbers are numbers, and when you look at, like, a full body of work for a season, you see some trends that emerge about officials and whatnot, and I do think that when it comes to the Lakers especially, that's a tough team to officiate because Luka, every time you go near him, the head's going to go back, and he's going to be hunting the foul, and LeBron, honestly, a lot like Giannis, you can call a foul on almost every single time that he goes toward the basket. He's so strong and there's going to be contact, and so as a ref you got to pick and choose your spots, and that's where the Steph Curry thing frustrates so many people because he doesn't get that same benefit of the doubt.
Look, and Bob Fitzgerald was on with us just a couple of weeks ago and said something that I don't know, it caught my attention. Not that this is a new subject, but for me it's interesting when it comes from someone like Bob. Like, Bob's been doing this for so many years and has seen it all and has been to all of the arenas. And so sometimes when we fans, when we sit here and watch a game, we're like, my God, the Lakers get all the calls. But I'm like, right, but we're watching this through very, very, you know, fandom-type eyes. And therefore, some of that conversation actually just gets playful. All of the NBA conspiracy theories and things like that. But Bob literally stated the one opponent he does not want for the Warriors in round one is the Los Angeles Lakers. And when he said it, I was like, oh, size, right? Size matters. Like, is it their size?
Nice.
Or what's going on? He's like, no, dude, it's the whistle. It's the whistle. And so when someone like that says that, someone who's been to every arena and watched every team, and watch the way the officials handle every kind of a game. When he says that, to me, it lands different. It lands completely differently. And so this is the first time the Warriors are playing the Lakers since that conversation. So I want to watch this very, very closely. We had a lengthy conversation yesterday about the whistle that Steph gets. And now we're going to see this in L.A., where the Warriors are the more tired team, and tired teams foul. Right? Because they can't keep their legs going as fast. And it's LeBron and it's Luka with two nights off. And Magic thinks it's a must-win game. And all of these things are going on. The Lakers have moved into the three seed. They can really take a jump with a win tonight. And then you're giving me analytics that the officials that are out there tonight are really good for home teams. Yeah, it's not a good bucket of information there.
Bad recipe. And if you just look at the raw numbers, the Lakers are seventh in the association in free throws taken this year, total free throws taken, and they are 27th in fouls committed. So if you like take the premise of every team is about the same, fouling or not fouling, getting fouled or not getting fouled, the Warriors are 17th in free throws, and they're 9th in fouls committed. So the Warriors foul more than the Lakers, and the Lakers get fouled more than the Warriors get fouled. So just from that one metric, it looks like the Warriors are more likely to face more free throws against tonight than they normally would.
Well, and that's been a thing every time they play the Lakers, and I'm not going to put that ready for this now. I want you to hear me.
Let's roll tape on this.
I'm not going to put that on the refs. I'm not putting that on the refs.
Oh, God, that felt good.
Okay.
I'm having a great day.
Well, it'll get worse. Don't worry.
I'm not worried. But yeah.
But if I can do that, why can't you do the opposite?
I can, and
no,
I have.
No, you don't.
No, I have.
When? Do it again.
I've done it.
Let me hear it.
Like, blame the refs?
Yes.
Talk to me tomorrow. And I'm going to watch today's game.
Tell me that the refs were very poor on Tuesday night in Memphis, both with calls being missed and the tone that they set. They did a poor job.
No, I won't say that.
Why?
Because I didn't watch the game through that lens.
It doesn't matter if you watch it through that lens. That's what happened.
Well, that's your opinion.
Yes.
And the whole
and
thing.
And the opinion of many.
Right. Which automatically makes that right.
No, it doesn't.
Of course it doesn't.
But I want to hear you say that, and you won't, because it's a hole.
I will, and I have. And I only say it when I believe it. I'm not just going to jump on board with the bandwagon and say, oh, yeah.
So you didn't see that the other night?
I didn't even look at it through that lens. What I saw was Steph Curry going absolutely bananas.
So you weren't watching for it, or you see what I'm saying and disagree?
I see what you're saying, and I slightly disagree, because that game was a very physical game on both ends. They called 47 fouls.
Yep.
They could have called 87 fouls. And what happened at the end of the game, for me, had nothing to do with the refs losing control.
We're going to be live from Splash tomorrow, 2-6, getting you ready for a very big game. The Nuggets are in town. The Warriors will finally be back home, and it'll be brought to you by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. And we're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Michael Thompson joins us next. This is Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
That's a great question. That's a great question.
It's a great question.
That's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
All right, Willard and Dibs on a big, big, big night.
Triple big? It's big, big, big? Is it triple big, big?
Well,
you may not be, you know what? You might be underselling it. It might be big, 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 big. It might be quadruple big.
Well, it depends.
Well, it depends on...
If they win it's five bigs.
And if they lose?
And then it's only three.
And I don't think that you're wrong,
That's
but
the way my brain works.
And the way my brain works is like kind of the opposite, where if you lose, well, then it was really, really, really big, because you could wake up and be the eight seed. And if you win, you're still the five, but you're a bigger five than you were going into the game.
We're going to keep on hanging out. Michael Thompson may or may not join us. Some technical difficulties going on here in the other room, okay. And so we're going to try to figure that out. And if we can, Michael will come on, and then Dave McMenamin will come on later. And if we can't, they won't.
And it'll be me and you.
It'll be me and you, brother.
And we can slug it out.
Well, and actually, you know what?
Great. This is, no, let's fight.
I'm in. No, you know what? I do want to extend an invitation to anyone who wants to engage in the show to potentially do this in a different way.
Okay.
Okay? Like Morse code? Let's make some lemonade. Well, no. If you're on YouTube, I'm going to lock in a little bit further than I have been on the chat.
Okay.
And so if you have a point that you want to make, you can fire to the chat. You can also always use our text line, which is the same as our phone line, 888-957-9570. If you want to fire away something there, something specific, reaction to what we're doing or what we're talking about, fire away your thought there. And maybe your text or your YouTube chat will get read on the air, and we'll bat it around a little bit. And then at some point, maybe all the gizmos. Because I don't know how about
the doohickeys.
You. Well, this is how I fix stuff around my house.
Duct tape.
I don't even know if I have duct tape.
Really?
No joke.
Oh.
I go over to it.
Okay.
And you shake it.
Oh my God.
Shake it. And then you whack it. You whack that thing.
Dude, you and I are cut from the same cloth.
And then if it works, great. And if it doesn't, you call someone.
That's it. A 30-second quick aside on our stove, which is a Miele. We didn't get it from...
Did you name your daughter after your stove?
We actually had our daughter before we got the stove.
Okay.
She's Mila. This is Mila. And if you listen to Jim Cosimore on the Friedman's Appliance spots, you know that they sell the Mila stove. We didn't get our Mila from them, but you turn on a burner, and you know when you turn on the gas burner, it's the click, 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 click.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then, So ours, click, 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 the flame hits, but then it still goes click, 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 click. Even though the burner's already on, the pilot, something's wrong with it. So what I do is I take my fist and I just smack
you,
it.
You whack that thing.
And it goes off.
All right.
And then it goes back on.
Well, okay, let's try this. Let's try this. No, okay.
If it doesn't work,
then we move on.
We gotta hit it.
Yeah, right. But
we gotta hit that thing
on the River Islands guest line, and he is a great man of faith, by the way. So I know he can hear me right now.
Okay,
we've been having some technical difficulties, but I would like everybody who's a fan of 95.7 The Game, take 3 seconds. I don't want to do dead air.
Okay,
but I want everybody, however you do it, to pray.
Jesus, take the wheel.
That's how we make it today. That's why we pray.
You are an undercover brother.
That's how I...
You are so undercover.
Okay? Everybody send a little God shot or whatever you want to do. Send it up to the man or the woman.
Buddha.
Or whoever, upstairs.
Yep.
That Michael Thompson...
Come on.
Broadcaster for the Lakers, former number one overall pick in the draft, and Clay's dad.
Friend of the show.
That he is about to speak, and he will not sound like someone is whacking him in the Adam's apple while he talks.
Come on, Michael.
Are we ready?
Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, out to Michael Thompson, my good friend. Michael, how are you, and what are you thinking about tonight?
Why don't you guys upgrade your equipment from the 80s?
Well, that's what I've been yelling during commercial breaks for the last hour and a half, Michael.
Exactly. Get this the 21st century, man. Join the 21st century like the rest of us.
Okay. Now, Michael, I don't know what kind of... There's a few different types of people in this world, and I think I know you pretty well. But this is something that happens, for instance, when you go to the doctor. Your leg has been hurting every day for 2 weeks. You can't walk. And then you make a doctor appointment. And you get to the doctor, and what happens? Leg feels completely normal. And they're like, what's wrong? You're like, well, this thing's been happening. They're like, well, show it to me. Well, I can't. This is what just happened with the phone call, basically. Michael, I don't know. Did you send up a prayer? Because you sound great.
Yeah, I definitely said, you guys, God, these guys, these amateurs need some help up there. So take the wheel, like you said.
Yeah.
Thank you. Send my best to Jesus.
You
send
us the same way the Lakers are going to do to the Warriors tonight, huh, Michael?
Oh, yeah, we're going to bully you guys tonight, man, and beat you up. That's how you beat the Warriors. You can't be finesse basketball with them. The Lakers are a more physical team, even without Anthony Davis. This is the first time you guys will be seeing Luka. Luka's a big physical guard. I know you got Jimmy Butler up there as a physical guy himself.
Uh-huh.
Draymond Green's a tough guy, but I think we're tougher than you guys.
Tougher, yes, but also the amount of embellishment, Michael. You, as an old-school basketball player, do you sometimes blush when you watch Luka and even LBJ kind of throw their head back and really beg for calls at that level?
Yeah, you're right. It's all around the NBA. It's just not those two guys, because I always think of, and I bring this up about the flopping in the league. You know, when you think about all the greats who played this game, I sound like an old man now, but Kobe never flopped. Michael Jordan never flopped. Isaiah Thomas never flopped. Charles Oakley. You know, Magic Johnson used to complain a lot, but he never flopped. And I thought flopping was supposed to be now a technical foul, and referee was supposed to call that to stop guys from flopping, but they don't call it. So guys continue to do it with all this faking these flopping. Guys can't set a screen now, and some guy will throw himself to the ground, and it's an illegal screen. I'm tired of seeing it.
Michael Thompson joining us on Withered and Dibs. I think of you and reference you all the time in this conversation, Michael, because literally because of guys like LeBron. I remember you telling me at some point. You're like, you think a man who – do you know how hard it is to knock over a man who is 6'8", 265 pounds, or whatever these guys are? Like, next to impossible. Next to impossible. So I kind of like what you said. That, like, the officials are supposed to do something about this. Why is the league not doing anything?
I don't know. They act like they're afraid of the players. They act like the referees are afraid to make a mistake, because every time they make a call now, they can't stick with the call. They got to wave their finger in the air like a home run sign and go look at a review when there's a questionable call to be made. So I'm tired of seeing it, man. They need to get rid of call reviews. And then maybe the referees could just go out there and ref the game the way it's supposed to be ref and call these flopping. All this. Everybody does this flopping. I'm tired of seeing it.
No, I'd love to hear that from you, Michael. Michael Thompson here on 95.7 The Game, and I couldn't agree with you more. And think about this game tonight, and you know, you got the Lakers up by two over the Warriors, and the Lakers sitting in the three seed. It seems like LA's been a little up and down since they got Luka. When everybody is right and healthy, how dangerous is this LA Laker team with Luka, LeBron, and so much more?
They can go all the way because Luka's been there, been to the finals, obviously. So has Draymond, and obviously Steph and Jimmy Butler themselves and a bunch of the Warriors have been to the finals, so they know what it takes to get there. Obviously, LeBron's been there 10 times, and Austin Reeves and these guys are big-time players. So the Lakers are a very dangerous team because they have three of the best playmakers and decision-makers on the floor, and Luka, LeBron, and a very underrated playmaker in Austin Reeves who can create his own shot and get to the basket and set up his teammates. So when you have three guys like that, who can create for you off the dribble, that makes you a very dangerous team.
Okay, I'm going to ask this one of three ways, Michael. I can't tell if you're, you know, the Lakers are going to beat up the Warriors tonight thing. Is this because, A, you're a Laker employee, B, because you think the Lakers are a bad matchup for the Warriors, or C, you just flat out think the Lakers are better than the Warriors?
Well, the record states it, doesn't it? So, obviously, the Lakers have a better record than the Warriors, so that proves right there. Just that point alone, they're better than the Warriors. And the Lakers, I think, have the better playmakers on the team than the Warriors do. Draymond's a good playmaker, so is Steph, of course, and so is Jimmy Butler. But our three playmakers are better than your three playmakers.
Okay, but okay, if you're going to just go straight to the records, though, Michael, a two-game spread over an entire season when both teams make massive deals at the deadline and are now completely different teams. Like, my take on tonight's game, this is the first time we've ever seen these two teams play. I think they're both that different.
But the difference is now that LeBron is a much more rested player because of Luka. He's basically ceded the leadership and the playmaking, majority of the playmaking over to Luka, which allows LeBron to pick his spots, which makes him a more dangerous player in the fourth quarter because he has more energy now to attack that he didn't have before. So, and then Austin Reeves is a player on his way up. He's getting better and better each month. And Austin Reeves is one of the best five one-on-one players in the game today.
And is that really where he makes the most of his headway, Austin Reeves, is with the ball and attacking one-on-one?
Well, he can do both. See, the thing is, Austin can play off the ball, too, as a spot-up shooter because he can't leave him open. He's an excellent shooter, one of the best three-point shooters in the game. So that's what makes him so dangerous on the ball and off the ball. But this is going to be a great game tonight, very competitive. Both teams understand what's at stake here, seeding for positioning in the playoffs. I think the playoffs have already started for these two teams, and this is going to be a reflection of that tonight.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, now coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.